Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends. It's Heidi here, and we are on episode 81. And today I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about meat selection and like what your attempts should be at a meat. So meat attempt selection should be a better way of saying it. And this I thought was important because I think that I myself did a few meets, can't say how many, a few meets before I actually had sort of a system in place that I could wrap around my numbers. You know, so for a long time, I trained myself until I started training with my friend Susan Salazar, who's like number one badass in the world, wonderful person. But prior to that, I was, you know, doing everything on my own. And I didn't really have, I would say, an actual game plan. There was somewhat of an idea of what I was going to try to shoot for. But really, it was kind of like how I felt. And today, I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about having a plan in place and what that can look like. Why going off a feel might not always be the best, why there's other markers that we could use at the day of the meet to help us decide if this is going to be the right choice, the next number that we hopefully have planned, and when you should just YOLO it, like when you should just say fuck it. Now, I want to start off with saying that the person who is going to make the right selection at the meet is going to be the person who wins. Now, it's not always the strongest person, right? If you've been to a meet before, you've seen some people where you're like, damn, they are fucking strong. And I've seen people just screw it up by choosing the wrong number. And not only did they not take first or second, but some of them bombed out, just totally not really having a plan going in. Maybe just like I said, like an idea. Yeah, I want to shoot for this number. Shooting for a number and knowing what you're capable of is two different things. Occasionally, I will find somebody who overexceeds what I even had planned. And I'll talk about that a little bit after we get into what you want to select for your meet. I will say that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to win despite of the bullshit they do, right? We've seen people go out there and just be totally fucking crazy and you think that's like a really stupid thing to do. Me, who, you know, I'm a judge. A lot of times I'll be at the table, like taking numbers. I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? And they're like, yes, I want to do that. All right. And they surprise me that occasionally people will do fantastic in spite of the bullshit that they do, because it happens occasionally. And that is not always the case. And so I want you to kind of push that out of your mind, because that's not necessarily going to be the norm. The norm is going to be when you go in and you have a plan in place. Those are the people who stick to somewhat of a plan or make adjustments on the fly based off of these things I'm going to tell you today. But before we get started, I just want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, where we live through strength. And if you are looking to level up your powerlifting, if you are looking to keep track on your nutrition and you're looking to perform better and you need some guidance and some accountability, visit core256.com. That's my gym, core256.com/online, and find out more about our training. And I am going to be sending a lot more information, not only about what we talked about today, but when we have a lot of free stuff that we're going to be giving out to people, just free downloads, just information for you guys to stay on top of things. And whenever we learn information, I'm going to be doing a couple of trainings this year. I like to give that information out, and a lot of it I can't really share through social media. So if that's something you're interested in, go visit our website, core256.com/newsletter, and get on our newsletter. You can also find that in our social media. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. If you just check our bio, just join our newsletter, and then I can hit you up a little bit more personally through email. So to begin, where do you even get the number from? I think that what I used to do was say I want a 300-pound deadlift, right? So that's the number I'm shooting for. always want a 300-pound deadlift, but really my max was at 265, but I want a 300-pound deadlift. You can want all you fucking want. Doesn't mean that you are there and that you have progressed and adapted and got strong enough to pull 300 at a meet. The way that you know if you're going to hit a certain number is that you actually have to take like a practice or like a run at these numbers at some point. Now, there's going to be a lot of people out there who don't do it this way. They'll never actually pull a max, any kind of one rep max prior to a meet. And there are people who work great this way. What I'm going to talk to you about today is what I do and what I've found has been super helpful over the years. And that is actually when you get into your peak, so your peaking cycle. So peaking, like we've gone over before, peaking is when you actually progress all your training and it accumulates into this point where it's going to be expressed on the platform. Part of that peaking cycle for what we do, and we follow a lot of fifth step principles. So the peaking cycle is anywhere from like 40, 45 days. So about 30-ish days prior to your meet date, you're actually going to take a one rep max. So you're going to take this, go up to 100%, and you're going to find what your one rep max is. That's the number that you are going to use to base the rest of your number selection on. So for example, if I do hit a 300-pound deadlift, I would take these three numbers to figure out my first, my second, and my third attempt. Number one, you're going to take that 300 and you're going to times it by 0.9. Number two, you're going to take that 300 and you're going to times it by 0.97. That's going to be your second attempt. And number three, you're going to take that 300 and times it by 1.04. And that will give you your possible third attempt. These numbers are ranges. However, I would highly recommend that you stick to something close to this. And this is where things are going to be a little up in the air, I should say. And if you're listening to this, I'm doing my hands kind of like, I don't know. There's been many times where I've had to adjust it, where my athlete doesn't actually want to take 290 for their first attempt or 270 for their first attempt. That's going to be 300 times 0.9. They want to take something a little bit less because they're just really afraid of that first attempt. That's fine. You can take a little bit less. Just remember, you don't want to take a really, really low number because that jump from the first number to the second, especially if you're not seasoned, is going to be sort of a massive amount of stimulation. And you're going to have a new meet. You're going to have all this adrenaline. There's going to be a lot of stimulation going on. And you don't need it to have like a huge second jump. Now, if you stick to this number. So first attempt will be 0.9, second attempt will be 0.97, third attempt will be 1.04, you're going to be fine. The only time you want to slightly adjust the third attempt is going to be on your bench. And this is something that Swede, creator of FitSet, talks about extensively in his book, but that, you know, that he's ran a lot of different numbers for his athletes, and actually doing a 1.04, they were missing it all the time. So he found that if he hit it at a 1.025, that athletes would be a little bit better. They'd hit their third attempt. And I found that to be true. There has been times where I kind of veered on the upper end of that, and it has happened where they missed it. But in the moment, the second attempt looks so great. You know, like I'm like, oh my gosh, you fucking got it. Like, let's go for this number. I know you want it. And that's where, you know, we make that decision in the moment and it didn't work out, you know, and that's a learning experience for me as well. Sometimes they're totally okay with it. And in particular, this client was totally okay with that. So that worked out good. But if it was just me, I would have fucked that up. And so as a coach, as somebody who's going to be coaching yourself, or on the side of, you know, on being safe with that, you know, you're going to hit it. It's still going to be a PR because it's going to be more than what you hit in the gym. But it's just not going to be some arbitrary number that you are sort of grabbing onto. Now, just remember, the bench is the only one where the coefficient, the number you're timesing it by, is going to be slightly different. So your squat will still be the 0.9, 0.97, 1.04, and your deadlift will be as well. But the bench third attempt is going to be the only one that I found also to be more accurate if you hit it closer to 1.025. I will say this, if your bench is under 200 pounds or even under 135, you're going to find that you have no choice but to go up 2.5 pounds, right? And that might automatically bump you up. You have no choice because you have to increase by 2.5 pounds at the minimum, unless you are breaking a record. And so you have no choice. You have to go up, and that, you know, it is what it is, and you make the call right then. So the caveat to all of this is that though you have a plan in place, plan doesn't always go according to plan. So many things can happen the day of the meet that would have you change your attempts or completely change the plan because it went really well. I think we all forget that, or not that you forget. I'll say that I think that sometimes we lose sight that there is a lot of adrenaline happening at a meet. There's a lot of things that go on that normally do not happen on day-to-day training that can influence your numbers that day of. And you are peaking as well. So if you've done it right, if your training has been good, if you have not necessarily been consistent with your training, but also peaked yourself into training, there is a progression that it should have gotten you to there, and you should be lifting more than you did in your peaking cycle, unless, you know, something happened out of the blue and you had, you know, it's not likely, right? Of course, that might be the case. But outside of that, you know, you should be able to lift more the day of the meet than you did in your practice. Now, here are a few things to consider and why you might change your plan the day of. Number one, the bar might move really fast. So I would say if you're going to make an attempt change, just keep in mind that even the best people out there do not necessarily go over 1.1 at the most. I mean, that is like almost like what the fuck. But I would say that there is kind of a range. Anywhere from 1.04 to 1.07 could be a very legit range for some people. Does that usually happen? Not in my experience. I haven't seen a lot of people go to the 1.07. Every once in a while, I have somebody who's really good at, you know, especially at one lift, and, you know, they can YOLO that. That's where you would take a look at your second attempt and really think like, all right, the plan is to hit 305 today, right? Like, okay, I'm going to hit 305, but I'm going to tell you right now that like 290 was flying, whatever. That's where you kind of make that judgment in the moment and you say, fuck it. But you should have some feedback. It's either your coach looking at you moving that bar and telling you, okay, this is a good call. Let's make this go up a little higher. Or it's you yourself evaluating the lift off of video. Like if you're there by yourself, take a video of yourself, ask somebody to take it for you, you know, put up a tripod, something so that you have some feedback. Because if you're doing it right, you're also filming yourself while you're training. And that's not to be, you know, egotistical. It doesn't mean you have to like put it on the internet. But really, if you're going to be an athlete who trains by themselves, you have to be good at that. You have to be good at evaluating your own lifts and seeing how you can get better. That also includes the day of and making a judgment of how that looks to you. Number two, I will have you consider that picking attempts based off of how you feel in the moment also can have some pitfalls because we're not always the best, especially in the beginning, at knowing where our limitation is. And this is an example I use because I've seen a lot of people pick numbers, like I said earlier. I saw somebody say, man, that felt great. Let's go for it. And when he went for that attempt, I looked at him and I was like, that, from what I saw, did not move well, right? Like he was very close to hitching. The bar was, you know, it wasn't moving smoothly. It wasn't fast. So there was no indication to me that he was going to make this huge jump and be able to hit it. But he felt okay, right? Like he was like, oh, that was great. He was telling his friend, like, yeah, let's do it, you know? And in my mind, I was like, if I was that friend, I would be real with him in that moment. But it's just an example of how sometimes if we go off of how we feel, what we feel might not always be the best indicator of what that number should be. And he didn't have any number. Like they weren't looking at a phone. They didn't have no numbers written down. It wasn't anything like that. So he was really just going off of how he felt that day. And, you know, and like I said, that has its downsides because you're not always the best at judging how that goes, right? So he was able to get that lift off the floor, but he couldn't move it past like a couple inches. And if he did even get it up, it probably would have been all over the place and definitely wouldn't have counted. So now those are the moments that I tell people, like, all right, have a plan in place. And if you know and you want to go for it, I mean, that is the time to choose it. But just know that if we go off of how I feel all the time, you may fuck that up. Another thing to keep in mind is, like, I'd like to have option A and option B. Option A is following the plan that I just talked to you right now using the coefficients. And then option B is a shit ain't feeling good. Shit ain't going right. Something is going on. We're falling back on option B. And I like to have that available, not only for me as the coach, because when I'm walking up there, I already know that they've looked over this and they are okay with these options. But you, if you're going to be coaching yourself and you have those numbers, you know, when you are coming off the platform, sometimes it's like, you don't know what the fuck is going on. You're just coming off, unbuckling, and then you have to immediately, within 1 minute, give your next attempt. So it's nice to have another number right there. You don't really even have to think about it too much. And that option is just going to be a little bit less. And normally my option B is closer to what they did at peaking cycle. And it could be even less in the moment. We could decide, all right, it really wasn't going as well. Maybe they, you know, they pulled a muscle or something. But normally option B will be 100% or it'll be like 98%. The last thing I'm going to add about considerations is, when do you say yellow? I have this situation where it doesn't happen often, and my athlete will probably be listening to this, is Quayla. And Quayla's had a lot of experience training her whole life, but not powerlifting. And I would say that she's somebody that took to powerlifting really well, lifting heavy. And we had a moment at her last meet where, you know, it was coming to a moment on deadlifts where she was like, fuck this. I am not leaving anything out. You know, like, this is it. And I totally went way over plan. I mean, it was like 100 and I mean, it probably was like 20% over. I mean, she was supposed to hit around, I think around 360, 358. She went 385. It was like a total YOLO, like beyond belief. And it still moved fast. So there is going to be occasions where you might be moving it so amazing and then you're just going to go for it. That doesn't happen often. I just want to say that that is very, 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 very rare. So I would not count on that. However, occasionally it does happen. And it's in the moment when I was watching her pull her second attempt, I was like, yo, that did not even look like an RPE 6. And that was your second attempt. So that's when, in the moment, we were both like, all right, how do you feel about this number? You've been wanting to chase this number. And we did. And we chose that number and she killed it. And now she just sent me a video of her doing it for 3 the other day. What the heck? Isn't that amazing? And to wrap it all up, I just want you all to be more prepared when you step on the platform, because the person that's going to be more prepared probably will have less anxiety about these things, especially if you're taking care of yourself. You know, if you're handling yourself, it's better to be prepared. And then in the moment, you have the decision, you have the option to either, you know, take it or not. What I don't want is that, you know, you go in there and you're like, what the fuck? Like, because that happens. And I went off a feel a lot the first couple times and I did exactly the things that we shouldn't. I'm like, I'm going to hit that 135 bench. Mind you, I was not even close to a 135. But, you know, it was this arbitrary number I had in my head. I had no idea of how this even works, like attempts and all that. And it's better to be prepared with something than it's not. And of course, this is not the only way of doing it. If you do numbers and you pick your attempt selections off of things like RPE, which a lot of people do, by all means, go ahead and do that. If you pick it off, like the opening attempt should be something you could do five reps, even on a day you're sick, then that is totally fine. I just wanted to give you what I do and what works for me. And it was worked for many years now for, you know, tons of people that I've trained. And it's been very consistent. I will tell you that the few times I've veered off are the few times where I'm like, I should have known better, but it's been foolproof for me. So if you need something that's going to be foolproof, follow this method. And if you want to hear more about Fifth Set, you know, I've had Sweet on the show before, but he goes into detail with Fifth Set and how our peaking cycle and all that works. And of course, you know, we take variations of that. But that is, you know, something that I feel like has been really helpful to guide me on a better system that's been consistent than what I was doing before. So enjoy. If you end up using this system, you let me know, because I would love to see what you do. And if you're not sure and you have nobody to, you know, kind of bounce these numbers off of, send them to me. Send me a message on Instagram, Futures Female Powerlifting, and I can let you know if that looks good or looks crazy. Good luck, everybody.